Hello, friend. Is this seat taken? I know what you're thinking. This isn't a seat. I assure you, I can make a seat out of anything. Did you know that kangaroos are born with a bar stool attached to their bottoms? Not literally, but they can use their muscular tails to lean back on, and they can sit on them like that. Now, if human beings could possibly coax their coccyx, the tip of their spine, to grow another 3 feet, they could make a sort of resting stick that they could then sit on, and they'd have a stool wherever they went. Wouldn't that be great? No, it wouldn't. It would make lines longer. They'd think, well, it's nothing to you to sit in this line. You won't get tired, and so they'll go for blocks like that. Oh, we don't want that. I'm glad there's not a big, long bone sticking out of my back, and I'm going to stop thinking about it right now. But I see that you're sitting here and waiting for something, maybe. Maybe you're sitting. Maybe you're standing. If you are standing, I must say you're smaller than I thought you'd be, but I really had no expectations at all. Do you mind if I keep you company? So, I don't really need any company. Oh, you don't know you need something until a salesman comes around and shows you a sample case. And you say, well, maybe I do need that. I didn't realize how much lint I had on me until I saw a lint remover. And that's a good one, too. That's a nickel-plated handle on that lint remover. I'm packing one right now. I open carry my lint remover because I don't want to look like I just came from some lint festival or something like that. I'm not judging. I mean, the lint folks, they're good folks, and they get together enough of it, and you can make a sort of felt from it. Oh, my goodness. Some people are so resourceful. Not me. I rely largely on others. I go to stores and buy things ready-made, except for candles, which I make from crayons. Did you know you can do that? Any kind of wax, really. I gather it up when I see it. I melt it down. No, don't do this. Just go buy candles. You're going to drive candle makers out of business if you start doing stuff your own, like I was smelting my own metal. Oh, not worth it. Not worth it. It's like growing your own tomatoes. Pointless. Who would ever do that? No, I like fresh tasting things, and so I do a lot of my own metallurgy. I make my own pots, but by the time I do it, it takes me so long, and I expend so many calories, I wither and die. But I have the pot and nothing to put in it. Isn't that like life, isn't it? You think about that. I think it is. I'm just going to go on faith that it is. I don't reason things out anymore because I've got less computing power than I did. I find as I get older, my mind, it's slowing down. And I wouldn't say it's slowing down. It's going at the same rate. It's not doing as much. Isn't that interesting? See, this car sounds like it's working, but I'm not going. I see on the speedometer I'm going 15 miles an hour, but the engine is revving. What's going on? It's my drivetrain. I realize that. It's the one thing they say, oh, we're not going to guarantee the drivetrain of your human body. Did you know that your body has a warranty? A lot of people don't even bother to go get it checked out. That's how little we care for ourselves. Say, I'm not even going to bother to send in the warranty card. And most parents don't even do it. And they get it at the hospital, and they just throw it away. They think it's some advertise. They think it's a coupon for diapers. I think that's the first time I've said the A in diapers. I usually say diapers like that. I try to make things as short as possible because I have to get on with things. So I like to cram all my words into one word. Sometimes I just make sounds like that because it leaves me with more free time. Again, are we waiting? And I know that I've just imposed myself. I've got to be honest with you. It's me who needs the company. And I don't mind that you're not talking. I think that's best. That way I don't feel as self-conscious. You know, a lot of times if you're somebody who likes to open your heart, and I don't just open my heart to people, I just dump out my brains to them. I don't know why. And I don't pay attention. I'm not trying to self-aggrandize. I hope I'm not. If I make up some story about myself, it's either neutral or it's self-deprecating. I hope it is, except the one where I say I'm royalty. Maybe I should rethink that. I don't want to imply that I'm more important than I am. But sometimes I like to have delusions of grandeur just to reward myself for my crummy job or something. Say, well, you know, I might work at this horrible big box retail store, but in reality, I'm an emperor. Did you know on my free time, I go on the computer and I run a small country? It's like a lot of people do things like that. It's not a virtual world either. There's people in it. I need to get out there and visit them. I feel bad, or I feel badly, as they would say, in this island nation that I'm secretly an emperor of. You say, I think it has to be an empire for you to be an emperor. Well, we have aspirations. We're going to build our own, we're making some sandbars, and then we're going to say that's a country. And then we're going to have a symbolic invasion of something that there wasn't anybody there to begin with. But we got to make ourselves feel better. It's like getting something for free doesn't make you feel like you've gotten anything. But if you pay a little for it, you say, yep, I got it for a good price. And that's the way with this island that we're going to, it's just a pile of sand. But we're going to take our boats out to it, and we're going to dress up as warriors. Now, we've just started this nation so we can start from scratch and make our uniforms anything we want. We've all designed a hat differently. Mine is very large. I look like some kind of Turkish pasha or something from centuries ago. It just looks like a big, say, that looks like a giant orange on your head. And so I made it from fabric, and that's impractical in battle. Well, I don't know. What would be better? So yours looks like a derby, like a bowler hat. They said, yeah, but it's made of steel. See, I don't think that's good either. Also, I believe that they did that on the Beverly Hillbillies. I remember Jethro having a metal hat. Many funny things happened. Funny to us, of course, but they hurt Jethro. They hurt his head. Why is it that we laugh at pain in others? Or do we? I don't always. Mostly I go, oh, my goodness. Some of us laugh, I guess. We all have different reactions. We can't help our reactions sometimes. Do you ever laugh inappropriately? Like you're at a funeral or something like that, and someone's delivering a eulogy, and it's very sad, but then they say a joke, and everybody laughs, and then they go on, and then you laugh just a little bit late. So it's not super inappropriate, but it's just out of sync. Or it's a sad part. Here's a better example. It's a sad part, and then you just start giggling. Why? Because you're uncomfortable. What is your body saying? It starts giggling, and then you get the hiccups, or the hiccoughs, as they often call them. And you're hiccuping, and you're laughing, and then the body comes to life. And it starts dancing like that, and it's smiling. Why? Because you've brought it to life with your laughter, perhaps. We don't know how our spirit is contagious. Oh, yes, I said it. It's contagious. When your spirit walks into a drugstore, let's say, and your spirit brushes up against someone else, let's say a biker, and you say, excuse me, I'm sorry that I brushed up against you like that. Say that. You should say that. And that'll make the world a better place for you right then. It's practical advice. Oh, a lot of people think, they say, oh, you have high ideals. Do you go to church or synagogue or temple or anything, friend? I don't mean to get personal. Don't answer me. Or do you go to a meeting house or anything like that? Or do you do some shape note singing or anything like that? Or do you do something non-spiritual but you get together somewhere in a big room like that? Do you go to art openings, friend? Do you do that? Do you go to when they auction off the storage spaces of dead people? Maybe that's like church a little bit, maybe not. I don't know. The treasures wait within. Oh, you don't know what you're going to get. That's a bit like religion. So I don't know. I open this tradition. What am I going to get? What's in there? I've had to clean out old relatives' houses. Sometimes they're dead. Sometimes they're still in there. When they're in there, it could be problematic. They say, why are you taking my things? Like, I don't know. I feel acquisitive. I feel like I've run my own things bore me. So I've come into your house, older aunt, or great aunt, or great-great aunt, depending on, I don't know, your family. And you go through their things, and you open shoe boxes. You say, what's in here? It looks like pennies. I say, it is pennies. I've been keeping pennies for years. You know how much I have? Say, how much? $108. Good for you. All right. Moving on. Is there anything of interest in here? Any antique? So I have some fine art. Let me look at it. It is. It's by one of the Three Stooges. That's amazing. How much could I get for this? If you have any painting that's by a celebrity, but they're not really recognized as an artist, it could be worth a lot of money. if you have any kind of painting by any president, there's a former president painting right now. His painting's going to be worth a lot, I think, because he's president. Doesn't matter if they're good or not. It's just interesting. Say, who painted that? Because that's when you put them on the wall and you have friends over. So, well, this is interesting. Well, what's this all about? Guess who painted it? I don't know. Who painted it? Guess who painted it? I don't know. I don't. Don't make me guess. Just guess. Take a guess. I don't know. Picasso. Picasso? No. James Garfield. What's wrong with you? Picasso. Not even the same. Don't make people feel stupid. Ever. Oh, Lord. I feel stupid all the time. And I am. You can tell by just talking to me. That's unfortunate. I hate that. But, you know, I don't want to be judged by appearances, or I also don't want to be judged by the content of my character. I feel like that's a burden. I don't feel fully responsible for it sometimes. I just, oh my goodness, you come in. I didn't realize my house was a nasty shack until people came in and looked at it. I thought it was a palace. Sometimes the perspective is others. That's what happened with my mind. I talk to people that go, you're crazy. You're stupid. And go, really? Oh, I had no idea. Because when I'm alone with myself, I feel fairly bright. I feel like I'm navigating this world all right. Occasionally I bump into things, metaphorical, allegorical icebergs and such. And then I capsize and I sink to the bottom of the ocean. But then a thing happens. Someone comes by and explores me. Why? Are they curious? Do they want to know what happened? No, they want things. They want to get the china out of your dining room. I don't know what that is in my soul. I've lost it, what it's corresponding to. Oh, my friend, I try not to read your expression because it crushes my soul a little bit. So I'm just, that's why I'm having my eyes closed mostly when I'm speaking to you. I'm sorry that I do that, but I just don't want to run the risk that you might not be just fine sitting here with your own thoughts and totally at peace and perhaps meditating. And that really I'm keeping you company in a waiting room and you're anxious and you'll settle for this. So why am I reading this 3-year-old magazine that already has the crossword puzzle filled out? It's got nothing to teach me. And it's not old enough that the pictures are unique. Say, look how people used to dress back then. That's so crazy. How wide their ties, how broad their collars. No, it's just dated. It's just not news to you. It's boring. Oh, I've heard this story before. I'm sorry I'm not old enough to be interesting. I was not born. What if I was told you I was born during the First Trumdrenton War, the First War of Peripolites? I don't even know. So I should get to know some history. That'd be better. That's probably why I'm not interesting. I have nothing to tell you. I'm like a substitute teacher comes in and say, you're not really a teacher, are you? No, indeed, I am not. I'm sorry. They were really desperate today, and I am not a teacher. What is it that you do? I beg your pardon? Enough about me. Open your books to page 19. What book? Doesn't matter. Just open it up. We're going to all read it simultaneously. I know. You're a performance artist. You have no right to be in here. Just be quiet. Page 19, any book. Go. What are we learning in this cacophony? Class, be silent. Silent hour time. I'm going to do the puzzle. And this is how I would teach. And if you don't know to look for the lesson, you'd think, well, the part where he's not doing anything, that must not be part of the lesson. No, I'm an idiot. You guessed right the first time. So I don't know either this guy's really clever or an idiot. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to spoil it for you. I don't want to reveal my shortcomings necessarily, but I got very bad at concealing them. You know what I'm saying? It's like eventually your beard grows so long, you say, I'm not passing as a lady anymore. In this, I'm going to have to quit my job. I just can't get over it. I worked in a grocery store one time, and at the time I had a beard, and I was letting my beard grow long because I thought it made me look wise, and it did. People really did think that I had some sort of wisdom because my face hair was so long. And I was thinking, man, you should see my back. You're going to think I'm a living God or something. But you see that beard and you say, that is a wise, look at that wise man. That must be, that's Charles Darwin, or it's Aristotle, or it's Rabbi Darwin or something. And they think you're going to know something. So I was letting it get long, and my beard is naturally white. Why is it white? I think I got very scared in the 90s. I remember when it happened. I used to have a black beard, a dark beard, and it didn't transition. I just woke up one and said, man, something scared the heck out of me. And I'm assuming it was that I was living in Atlanta at the time. I think it was Atlanta traffic. I think that's what it was. I think I was in the midst of a traffic jam, and I thought I couldn't get out of here if I tried. I can't back up. I can't go forward. I can't get off of the exit. And look, at I'm looking right over there at the Varsity, and I cannot get one of them hot dogs or whatever. Nope. No, Flossie May, I cannot come see that your glass cleaning machine over there. And I felt trapped. I cannot keep up the charade of being some kind of cool person or smart person or together, even believing the right thing. It's difficult sometimes, I know, to go to any kind of place where everybody has similar beliefs and maybe your reason isn't allowing you to conform, and so you have to put on a little bit. Oh, this happens everywhere. Whether you go into a faculty meeting or you go into a church meeting, or you're going to something, oh, you feel like I'm not on the same base as you. What does that mean? How many people? One per base. So you don't want to be on the same base. No, you do not. You need to run back to first. I beg your pardon. I don't play the game that often. So I'm glad that I could be here substituting. I'm embarrassed. I did that one time. Someone said, we need another person for our game. And it was a basketball game. I don't play basketball. I mean, I played in school. I thought, well, I played a little basketball. And they said, come on down to the gym. We're a person short and you're tall. I'm old style tall, which means I'm not tall anymore. But I was back then. I was considered tall because there's nobody. I don't think there's anybody over 6 foot in the 70s. Now they got people 9, 10, 11 foot tall. But back then, so they said, come play on a basketball team. So I came down there, and because there's only like, I don't know, it was nine people. They needed a tenth or something. I came down there, and we're warming up. And a fella came up to me, and he said, just go. I said, all right. We'll just play with less people. All right. And that's how bad I was. They didn't even want to play with me. How about that? And did that make me feel bad? No, you'd think it would. You say, you can't have normal feelings. No, I was relieved. I was relieved. I was like, oh, I get that. That's how I see life a little bit. It's like, oh, I'm getting out of something because of incompetence. Sometimes that's a blessing. I didn't want to be playing there anyway. I was just doing something for a friend. I'm glad I didn't have to follow through. And say, oh, you have a truck? Yes. Can you help me move? Yes. You show up and they go, oh, that's not a truck. You can go home. All right. Say, I think you get helping points without having to do it. So have a tiny little truck. People make the mistake of having these giant trucks. Or sometimes I have a truck, it's giant, but the actual bed of the truck where you'd put things is size of a shoebox, literally. Literally. Because shoebox comes in all sizes. I'm talking really dimension. Oh my goodness, what dimension is it in? I've had those kind of trucks where the bed of the truck has another dimension, so that you put stuff in it, you're not going to necessarily get it back when you think you are. So you go to the home improvement store, you put some sheetrock in there, you drive home and you go, ah, dang it, I got the sheetrock weeks ago. That's how time works. Oh, my friend, I don't know how time works. I don't know how it works. I'm like you, we're waiting, but I don't know what we're waiting for. You're giving me a vibe. You're not saying anything, but I'm seeing in your eyes, the way you're moving your eyes, it's like you're trying to signal me. You're making them roll. You're rolling them up like that. What does that mean, I wonder? Look up? Should I look up? Are you signaling me? Is there something on the ceiling? Is there an enemy on the ceiling? I won't look up. I'm not going to look up. But I get your message, friend, loud and clear. I'm going to do what I can now. This is what I want you to do. Do not move. I'm going to use your shoulders as a launch pad. And I'm going to jump up. I know a little gymnastics and gym fu and everything I've learned. Gym kata is the one people are familiar with. But I do the gym fu, which is like it. I don't think it's real. Sometimes I think martial arts teachers make things up, especially when they show the patriarch. Oh, this is the founder. And I thought, that's a cartoon. That's Hong Kong Fooey. That's a cartoon dog. They say, no. He's the founder from the old country. Go, you're not fooling me. Then it turns out to be a sound fighting style. Could you imagine that? Hanna-Barbera making a sound martial fighting style. A lot of people don't use that. Some do now, you see, in the mixed martial arts world. One of the things they should mix in, I think, is surrealism and cartoons. They're not mixing enough. If you're going to mix a drink, if you're going to have a cocktail, oh, holy cow, put everything, Hanna Panna Friend of Man, and put everything in there. The kitchen sink. Don't literally put the kitchen sink in there. It could be nasty. You don't want to poison people. That's another thing with cocktails. I guess it's best to have a recipe. Here, going to have a recipe time. I want you to take this down. Here's a recipe to a long life, good long life. What? No, I haven't lived one yet. Well, why am I giving the recipe? It was given to me. Have I made it? No, I haven't made the recipe. Should I have made it in my test kitchen? That's what I need. I need a test kitchen. I should test out everything I say to people and all my feelings before I go out into the world. You know, run them through some paces like they do cars. Put them in a wind tunnel. Say, is this car going to hold up? This car I made that's shaped like a cube. No. It's resisting the wind. You need something a little more streamlined. All right, this one I made, it's the shape of a hot dog. All right, that's great. We can advertise hot dogs with that one. Put that one to the side. That one's sort of a keeper. But we need something more streamlined. I want you to test this thing. Go out there in the world, see if your design's going to work. Put it through the paces. Oh, my goodness. Then release it. Do a test kitchen. Sometimes I like to do my whole life like that. So I'm going to act it out in the basement. I have to go to the laundromat today, so I'm going to pretend that this is the laundromat. And I take cardboard boxes and I make them into the various dryers. So, all right, I'm going to go to the third dryer. Hello, Mrs. Jones. Hello, Mrs. Conclusion, or something. I don't know how people talk. That's the problem. Start putting words in their mouth, and you make puppets of people. And then when they say something different, you're shocked. I'm often shocked when people speak to me in real life. I'm not expecting them to say the things they say all the time. Isn't that wonderful? That's why when I create my own worlds, and yes, I do, I have a holodeck like they do in one of the Star Treks. Oh, to get lost, you could get lost in there. I know it's just a shortcut so they can do cowboy episodes. I get that. It's like a time machine. It's cheap. Yes, and we have a device that allows us to step out of our time and space so we can use different costumes. Because this studio has all sorts of costumes. Why are we doing more cowboy shows? Why are we doing more Victorian England shows? Why are we doing more Roman gladiator shows and all? We have the costumes. Let's do it. Say, I get it. It's a very Star Trek porum. Then we can use all of them. That'd be crazy. You be Mr. Spock, right? Klingon Mordecai. Now, Klingon Mordecai was a band I was in high school. I admit it. I liked metal. And who didn't as a kid? I like to be scared a little. I was like, oh, this seems rebellious. So I'm sorry I'm listening to devil music, Mama. So that's all right. I don't mind. I placed you to the devil at birth. All right. I did not know that. Yes. So, well, that's not good. And I wanted to get rebellious. So I said, I better listen to something else, gospel or something. I want to rebel. I didn't know that. Now I realize my mom was playing me. She's a little bit psychologically manipulative because she's a carnival barker. So you kind of expect it. Some people we expect it of. Oh, my goodness. We are all different, aren't we? Different professions. You learn that on Sesame Street. Say, oh, these are all the things that you can be in your neighborhood. Some of the consultants bored me. I said, oh, firemen or whatever. Those are the professions that I think are exciting. And not once did they mention puppeteer. I don't know if they were false modesty or whatever. You'd think that they'd be touting that. Say, we're all making money as puppeteers. Crazy. Kids, go into puppeteering. It's unbelievable. We're making all this money now. We thought, oh, I got mocked when I was a child playing with puppets. Now look at me now, said Jim Hansen. I'm making $1 million, millions and billions and billions and millions and billions. I don't know if he made that much. And it was a children's show on public television. Perhaps he lived a modest life. I do not know how others live. I can look at that lady over there, and I can't judge her by what she's wearing. Now, she is wearing a burlap potato sack, but I don't know. It could be a model. It could be a fashion model. Back in the day, you could tell, say, oh, someone's wearing a barrel with leather suspenders. That means a certain thing, but not anymore, brother. Could be they're doing a pickle ad or something. People dress up for all sorts of reasons. And I like that. I like that. I don't think we should judge somebody by the book of their character of color, bad thing. Just ignore everybody. Should we judge anybody at all? I wonder. I don't know. I like the idea of being a judge, but I'm thinking it's the wig, you know? That's the thing I'm attracted to. Do I really like the culture, or is it the cosplay that I'm interested in? No, nobody knows, do they? Nobody knows. You know, did I tell you about that? I must have told you about that TV show. You're too young to remember. Probably. Crawling up the hill. But that family crawling up the hill on all fours. Yeah. So they'd crawl up, and every week you'd follow them a different story. They'd be crawling up the hill on all fours. They'd never get to the top of the mountain. But every week it crawl up on that, and the dad on that was the uncle of a friend. And it always made me think, hey, it's possible to get on television. And then it happened. My friends and I came up with a TV show, and we wrote it down in crayon, and we mailed it to TV, and TV accepted it, and they said, we're going to have you on it. And we had a show called the Bicentennial Kids, and we dress up in red, white, and blue, and play penny whistle and fife like that. And that's all it was to us. No other historical references. Oh, occasionally George Washington would come by and he'd say, good job, kids. Thank you, General Washington. And it ran for 2 seasons. But after about 2 years, people said, oh, I'm tired of this bicentennial stuff, all this red, white, and blue. And we were crushed because we thought we were bicentennial kids. We were famous at school. Kids would see us and say, you're on TV. Yes, I am. And I developed a sort of false modesty and made a narrative of my life that turned out to be incorrect because I mistook popularity. I mistook someone's temporary fascination with me for love. And I thought I had achieved something in life. I thought I was special. But then when the television show ended, all I had were these red, white, and blue child-sized leisure suits. What am I going to do with that? Bicentennial kids. Then, you know, every once in a while, people say, whatever happened to the Bicentennial Kids? Whatever happened to the Crawling Up the Hill family? I say, well, most of them are gone. I just say, when I get the form, I just say dead. I feel it and go dead, long dead. I don't want to remember. I don't want to go on some talk show and say, you're somebody who used to be something. I don't like that implication. The more people know about you, I like the expression minor character in history. Oh, if you know about that person, they seem to be more than minor, right? Think of all the unknown people, all of us. Like me. When I'm gone, I fade completely. It's not like I'm going to be, even if I was the mayor of Happy Town. Is that even a thing anymore? I would not be remembered after a few hundred years, maybe. And I'm not going to say, oh, that fellow's on the radio show, I'll remember him. Bicentennial Kid or anything. I was not in the movie. Some memories are bitter. Some memories are bittersweet. Some memories of I'm a mama, I'm a mommy. Flavored. But everything has a flavor. Everything has a smell. Everything has an odor, doesn't it? So I've lost my sense of smell. Oh, you've lost one dimension of life then. Well, I know a lot of things smell bad. Oh, yeah, but come on, you got to, oh, it wakes you up. When you see photos of urban, you know, say, oh, there's a city street, and you see this photo in black and white, and all you're looking at it and say, that's so beautiful. You're not getting the smell of people that have left there, the garbage and fumes and everything. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's there, you know, the nasty, the stench of it all. It's also mingled with nice things, like various chemicals that are designed to cover stench. Oh, I have such pleasant memories of things you spray in the air to make odors go away. Oh, and they work, don't they? Some people just put their hand or a cloth over their face. I know when a lot of people are talking to me, they're just kind of, you know, surreptitiously kind of stick their hand in their pocket and bring out a scented handkerchief and delicately hold that in front of their nose. Does anyone know I'm speaking to you? Are we doing this on the QT? What's the QT? I don't know. Quiet. Why don't I just say quiet? It took me longer to say QT. Are we being quiet about this? Are we under a cone of silence? Is there anyone else in the room? Hello? 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 I can't hear you. This is so strange. It's as if we are speaking to each other from different dimensions. I'm from the past or the future or something. Nobody else can see me, right? Can they? Except you? I'm Mr. Snuffleupagus. I don't like that. Just call me by my first name, Hardy. Oh, I'm Hardy White. I didn't even introduce myself. I'm Hardy White. I'm so sorry. Don't tell me your name, because I feel like I'd be intruding. Because if I ask you your name and you go, I'd prefer not to. Oh, my goodness. That's scary. All right. Where do we go from there? Make up a name always. If you prefer not to give your name, say, you know, I'm Bartleby. Like that. That's what I tell people. And they say, are you a? And I go, I'm not a Scrivener. I hate that. I hear that all the time. A lot of people named Bartleby aren't Scriveners. Never assume. So, what's your name? Barney. Oh, are you the dinosaur or something? No, my name is just Barney. My name's Sigmund. Oh, like Sigmund the Sea Monster? It must be insufferable to meet people from a certain generation when you meet them abroad and you got some name that they associate with one of our many children's shows, which really got deeply into the brain of so many. I've got to tell you, I believe there was a sort of mind conspiracy to alter the brains of children through TV, children's TV. This is a little bit far-fetched. Or not far-fetched enough. That's what I worry about. Sometimes I'll have an idea. I go, you know what? I don't think it's crazy enough. I think maybe somebody else has come up with it. To be original, you got to be out. Oh, I got to go beyond logic. I have to just cobble this together from things that are absurd. I have to jump, not just a shark, but I got to change the shark into something else, something made of peanut butter, something nebulous. It's glowing, molten peanut butter. And I'm not jumping it, I'm melding with it and becoming one with it. And I'm floating in an empty, there's empty space, there's just me. And antimatter is out there. I don't even know what I am anymore. I've dissipated completely. Oh, that feels wonderful. I'm now pure. Now I can be reborn. I can reintroduce myself. Hello. I'm Hardy White. I said, why are you doing this to me, friend? Why are you sitting down here? I didn't invite you. Oh, nobody invites the uninvited. That's the very definition. We are what we are. I'm just helping. I'm probably not helping you. I just want to help. I'm sorry. I don't know what you've been through. That's the thing. You know, all my troubles are probably stupid and small. I know they are. I know I could probably be helpful to you. But I get scared. You know, I want to run away from hard things. I see people need me. I don't know what to do. How do I look you in the eye, friend? You need my help, but I don't know what I can give you. So I just clown around and blah, 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 like that. Say, I'm going to stick something on the end of my nose. What's this? Look, it's something red. I'm a clown. Oh, it's a sea urchin. It's stinging me. We laugh. like that. But seriously, I've been stung badly on the nose by this. I don't know what to do. But then, ironically, my nose swells into the shape of a clown's. Red, inflamed, but perfectly round. It looks like foam, but it's not foam. It's inflamed nasal tissue because of the poison. Is anything else going to help? Oh, now my eyes have swollen shut. Now this is problematic. I look like, you know, Stoney the Clown or something. Oh my goodness. If I'm giving you any relief from your problems, who knows what's going on now? Say, I'm sitting in the back of a police cruiser. Hardy, so you're really helping out. And I went, why does the policeman have WFMU on? I'm sure he, I don't know, but that's, I'm glad. Let's put it that way. But this is odd. Or maybe have your earbuds in. Why isn't he not taking them? I don't know. I'm handcuffed. Well, let's thank God for small miracles. I'm glad I could be here. Or maybe I really am an interdimensional being. I don't know sometimes. You know, I don't know where I go when I fall asleep. I could go anywhere. I can't keep track. You know? Or maybe I leave the bed. Sometimes I don't. They say you take a roll of stamps and you wrap them around any body part, really. And then you wrap the other end around your bedpost. And if you wake up and it's broken, then you have traveled somewhere in your sleep. So I don't even know where I go then. That's scary. I could go anywhere. Yes. Oh, maybe you go and live other lives, like a yellow millet dream. You live an entire lifetime in an instant. In a five-minute nap, you become someone else. Live another's life. Say, oh, now I'm Captain Picard, living on a planet where all my clothes are tan and made of natural fibers or leather or something. And I play the flute all day long, and my house looks like the Flintstones house. And I live my life from a young man to an old man. All these things transpire. I remember all the books I've read. And it feels like a lifetime. I'm laying on my deathbed. And when I wake up, though, I wake up from my nap that I ate after I ate all that yellow millet. Now, why is that? Can millet get argon in it? Is it poisoning? And we know now from science that most everything that happened in the past was because something got a fungus on it that makes people hallucinate. So I'd say probably 3/4 of human experience in human history is just hallucinations. We can't be sure. Who knows if any of that happened? Those people were tripping. So now we know. Now we have clean things. And we just, now people are just mild stimulants and things like that. And so we have a clearer picture of life. And so, oh, now that I see life clearly, it seems I'm bored to death. No, it's not that. It's the thing we've constructed in life, maybe. I always make this analogy. You have a warehouse. And the warehouse is completely empty. And in that warehouse, you construct Lincoln's birth home, his cabin. It's just a tiny little house within a huge house. And then within that cabin, there's a table. And on that table, a bowl. And in that bowl is yellow millet. Don't eat the millet. Go outside. Go outside the cabin. And when you leave Lincoln's birth cabin, you must find the Knob Creek stream, into which he almost fell and drowned. But he did not. He was pulled from it by a childhood friend who would later go on and claim that he had saved Lincoln from death, and thereby he was responsible for Lincoln. Was he? Or is it all taking place in a giant empty warehouse? And is Lincoln just a little stop-motion Lincoln that I made out of fabric? Did you do that? I didn't. What a great project. I just got an idea. You want to do it with me? Do it with me. Let's get a... Oh, I'm getting manic and I just had some coffee. I got a great idea. Let's get it like a Kickstarter or something up, get a lot of money up there, and then let's get it, make our own stop-motion film. Oh, I got a great idea. It's going to take, it'll be a 3-minute film. We're going, once we make it, what do we do with it? Take it to festivals and everything like that. I think we could probably get it on MTV. I don't know. Oh, I love this idea. Oh, my life's changed. Oh, things are going to be better now. Well, let me tell you something. We're never going to do that. And that's enough. And sometimes I think the idea is enough. That's how I live my life. So I've said it and I don't have to do it. Mostly. Is that just lazy? Am I lazy? I know I'm lazy. Things I follow through on. One, eating. And I think I go, imagine a donut. And then somehow I always find one. I always find I'm able to sleep. Because you know what? I don't have much to do with that. Sometimes I just fall asleep like you're doing right now. Oh, you lulled me. You say you lulled me to sleep. Sometimes your voice is like either white noise or a beautiful symphony or something like that, or a record. One of my old rock and roll records that a friend said, you need to listen to that as a whole. It's really a whole. It's really one thing. Don't just listen to the separate songs. They all have meaning. They all fit together. And they didn't. And I fell asleep. When I was very young, I'd listen to story records. I had a record player in my room. Is that spoiled? Maybe a lot of children don't. I also had a recording studio in there. Don't know what that was about. Wasn't allowed to use it. But I had a record player. And I would get these story records. And they weren't fantastic stories. They were fantastic in that pigs don't really talk. But I mean, they were just your basic children's stories, stupid ones. Puss in Boots and everything. Three Little Pigs. Black Beauty. Black Beauty and really one. But I had Black Beauty on a record. And it was sad because Black Beauty, something happens to the horse. And I remember they'd say, Black Beauty through the wind and the rain, like that. Someone said, oh, the horse out there in the storm. And I'd be traumatized and I'd fall asleep with that thought in my head. Seeing that lonely horse out there and seeing a child's heart broken as something that loves is ripped from it, taken from it. Around the same time I lost, the first time I lost somebody close to me. And when my grandfather died, I said, there you go. He's like a horse. He's one like a horse. I would take that back. And I hadn't ridden him since I was like an infant. And when you get on somebody's back like that. So it's different than that, but oh, losing some you love, that's why can I be a surrogate? Can I be a little stuffed animal for you? Say, Hardy won't mind. Look, it hug me. There's nothing to hug. That's what's so good about hugging somebody on radio. I can give you hugs every minute of the day, and it's not creepy because I'm not touching you. It's creep proof. All I have is love as another human being. Whose body's going to break down or you're going to be hit by a car or something like that or going to fall into a sinkhole. Oh, I know all the perils. And I know that even the small things can eat at us. And sometimes we just need one another. Oh, it's just as somebody has a smile, just a smile and $100 bill and a promise to pay all our bills is something that can just change our whole day. Can't it? Just something small like that. Someone say, I would like to make come up in the street. You don't have a job. I'd like to make you head of NASA. Something that tiny can transform a life, I believe. Or just make keeping you company. Again, I'm just sitting here and you're saying, how can you sit that long on an ashtray? And he goes, is that what this is? I thought it was some kind of just a stool with a sandy seat. But now I see all the cigarette butts in it. Oh, they're all over. I'm glad I put my bottom down because that's the part I'm least worrying about getting something on it. I know. I say it's the cigarette butts that really need to worry. But I just sat perched on the first thing I saw. I didn't know there wasn't another seat here. I thought this was a waiting room. I didn't know it was your private thought chamber. I'm so sorry, friend. I didn't mean to interfere. I assumed also there was an off button. You could just be putting it in and out. Say, I can't hear you. I got the radio on. Who is it? It's Hardy White. Oh, that old fool. What's he saying today? I don't know. I never know. I can never remember. It's like a Robert Walzer novel or something. You read it, go, what was that all about? I don't know. It sounded interesting. It sounded like it was going somewhere. I tell you, you can really convince people that you're thinking about something, that you're putting a lot of thought into your speech if you don't say, Now, I still have to say sometimes because my brain just takes a cigarette break. Occasionally, I notice that. It just walks out the door. I'll be talking to it. I go, yeah, and then I put this line of code in, and then I go, what? Tom? Tom's going out for a cigarette. It's not there anymore. We're going to have to finish when he gets back in. This happens once an hour for 10, 15 minutes like that. Is it productive? I don't know. But listen and win. If you hear me lose my train of thought, you write it down. Say, I'm going to remember to take a drink when it's appropriate. Because I don't want to do it right now. Not all drinking games you can do all the time. A lot of them are discouraged. A lot of the ones, like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood ones, we don't even do anymore. Because I say, I don't think he'd like that. I feel guilty now. I don't want to see Fred seeing me like this. Bless it. Oh, I'd hate to say, you know, big influence on me, friend. I don't want you to see me half the time. The things I do, I'd be ashamed. So, well, why don't you live your life without shame? No, that's okay. I'm good. I'm just saying. I'm glad you're not here with me all the time. I'm glad that Fred Rogers isn't in my brain like he is his fake kitchen. You know? But I do feel that influence. And mainly it's with cardigans. I find that a zipper on a cardigan is a brilliant, brilliant thing. I know that's small, and that his message of probably kindness and acceptance and everything is better. But you get what you get, and you take away what you take away. Right? Is that right? Am I right? Not necessarily. So, I'm going to go home and use this as a tray. Well, it's not really meant to be a tray. It's a painting my mom did when she was in high school. Whatever. For me, it's a tray. Well, you know, I don't think it'll make a good one, but bless your heart. You use it for what you can use it for. I always tell people that when I'm talking to them. Say, maybe what I'm saying won't be useful for you, but maybe you can use some of it, just cut it apart and use it in your, you know, your dubstep mixes or whatever you want to do. Right? Well, hello. I don't know what you do for creative fun. I don't know what sports you play. I don't know what challenges you have you give yourself in your life. Maybe none. I feel like I don't do it enough. My mother signed me up for a day camp one summer when I was a kid. I went one day. They played t-ball. I said, this is not for me. Also, they had to change in the locker room. Had to change your pants in public. I go, this is two strikes and this place is out. I quit. And I learned that quitting things gave me a good feeling. I'd go and say, I'm uncomfortable. I'm not going to do this. I found out later that it's best to put yourself into uncomfortable positions. That you will gain something. And so I started to go to old-timey spas where you'd sit in a big box with your head sticking out a hole and they'd heat it with steam like that. And you go, woo, boy, this is really uncomfortable, but I know it's working. And then you get on this thing, it's a belt, and it jiggles you like that. And I go, oh, this is uncomfortable, but I know that it's doing something. Guess what? That doesn't do anything. Sometimes you put yourself in uncomfortable situations and nothing happens. Just sticking something out isn't enough necessarily. I can do 5,000 sit-ups over a lifetime, I think. That's my goal. But I can't do a whole lot in a row. Why is that? Well, I try to make my core strong because I don't know when I'm going to need it, first of all. I'm terrible about that. I feel so inferior to my fellow man, so scared all the time. Sometimes when I go out in public, I'm always thinking something's going to go down. I go, now I have to, what am I going to do? Am I going to run at the treble? So I'll get that guy. So I'm in the grocery store. I'm always looking for a big, hefty can of beans to chunk at somebody if they get out of hand. You know what I'm saying? So that guy, oh, that man's going crazy. I don't want, you know, I just want to subdue them. I don't want to fatalize them, as I say. So what would I do? Would I leap on this shelf like that? How would I act? I've seen enough movies now. I'd run it through it in my head, and I got that holodeck. I use that. I will use it for scenarios. I run through so many scenarios, over and over, and I seem to succeed. But then, when it's reality, somehow I know the difference, and I don't function like that. But, let me always run towards the trouble. Let me always run towards somebody who needs something. Let me always have that spirit in me. I got nothing to lose. Dang it. Dang it, it didn't turn out the way I wanted it to. My life, I'm not as a big deal as I thought I'd be. I'm not as smart as I imagined I'd be. I don't have the power I thought I would have. Oh my goodness, I'll never be famous. I'll never be the head of nothing. I'll never be nobody's favorite biology teacher. Because I don't teach, I don't know nothing about biology. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm free now. I'm free having to worry about it. Turns out I'm just another human being. Oh, turns out I get to play in the game. I may not be the best baseball player, but I get to be a Major League Baseball player. I get to walk on this earth. Some only do for 3 days, some 3 years, some 3 decades, some for hundreds of years. Not hundreds of years. Who's that? Who am I thinking of? Methuselah. Is he still around? Methuselah? I love when he used to do advertisements in the Florida Panhandle area. No, I'm not thinking of Methuselah. Who am I thinking of? Oh, you don't know because you're not in my head. You want to come in here? Help me come in here and look around. Help me straighten up. Something's on the carpet. I need one of them companies that comes out and somebody's died in your house and there's blood and guts and sweat and fire all over. Say, I need somebody to help me clean all this out. Get all this out here for me. I want to start all over again. I want to refurbish. I need to update this kitchen. Sometimes I think my soul's a kitchen. I need to update the kitchen. Well, look at these appliances. They're made out, they're avocado gold. I want to get one of those stovetops that doesn't have those clunky burners, but has the elegant burners. When I can get one of them, do I have to change? Elegant burners. See, nowadays I think, oh, people go to Burning Man wearing a tuxedo. That's a thing. So I get there's probably something called elegant burners. And one of them's going, hey, he's talking about, heart is talking about us. Bless your heart, I love all peoples. I meet so many people, I got no judgment against. I hate. I'm so full of hate. I'm hating, I hate. No, I really just hate. That's the thing. It gets right down to it. And the things that lead to it, and some of the things that lead to it, are small. And they are judging differences. I hate people who have sideburns. Now, I once had sideburns. Do you hate me? Well, why'd you have sideburns? That's stupid. I'm not saying it's not stupid. But they grow, and I had them. Maybe I was trying to be John Lennon or General Burnside or one of them. I don't know. Carl Sagan. I was going through a Carl Sagan thing. And I wanted to be him. So I grew my sideburns very bushy and long. I said, I hate people with long sideburns trying to look like idiots. No. It's me. Do you hate me? Maybe. Oh, please don't. See, I try not to get angry when somebody does that. I try to give them, because that'll convince them they were right. If somebody hates you and you get angry, they're going to be convinced they're right. And I always try to say, I'm going to try to rectify this. See what I can do about it without losing myself. So I said, please don't hate me. Look, just a person. I'm just another person with weaknesses and doubts and everything. I don't know what to do or what to say to folks. I don't. And I get worried. People going to love me and then not love me. Friends. People I don't know. You know? Oh, somebody used to send me emails and they don't anymore. So, oh, maybe they don't like me. And then we all have these thoughts. Being rejected seems the worst. Death seems like the biggest rejection. It seems like getting thrown out of the party, doesn't it? Oh, there's so many challenges. I think we need to be there for one another. And it's tough because it takes some tolerance. You've got to sit on this plane. Are we on a plane? I knew it. I knew we were on a plane or a bus or something. I knew it. It's the nose doesn't put, and I'm sitting here next to you. And you're uncomfortable anyway, and maybe you're nervous, and I won't shut up. But that's being alive. Let me tell you, let that go. So maybe this person is also afraid, and that's how they cope with it. They sound arrogant, though. They're bragging. Oh, if you have to brag. If you have to brag, it means you want even a stranger to think that you're special. And if somebody's like that, then they must really need you. Just think it through. Think everybody's got all the things you think about people that are annoying. Oh, they are annoying. But it's because they've got the same weaknesses that you have. And if you didn't have a dog in the fight, if you were above things, if you were already dead and you were just floating around looking at people like a Greek god or a ghost, you'd say, typical. I see now. Right? But when you're participating, oh, it's in your face. It's a challenge. You're saying I'm no good? You're saying you're better than me? Oh, my goodness. But then if you can float above it, say, oh, I wonder if I could do both at once. I wonder if that's even possible. Or I could look at my fellow human being and say, oh, I see. I see you mean well, or I see why the anger's there. I can see now. When I'm safe, and I'm safe talking to you on the radio, I don't have to be with you. I don't have to read your micro expressions. You might react to something I say. I go, oh my goodness, I think I offended that person. I think I offended them. I feel awful. And then I change what I say, and then it becomes a feedback loop, and all of a sudden we're not communicating, or we feel uncomfortable or something. Oh, but we got this protective suit on right now. I know you're there. I can feel your essence, but I don't have to see all the details that might keep us apart. I get to experience you, my friend, in the abstract, where I love you. Oh, I hope I have the strength this week to go out there and find patience with people and be an example of the way I want the world to be. That kind of chill sophistication. Look at me, hearty wide. Look, I'm walking with a walking stick. We're all cool, yeah. We're all looking out for one another, yeah. That's where I want to be. Find some kind of cartoon character that you like that can model your life after some kind of cool cat. Some kind of, like Top Cat. Oh, be Top Cat if you can. That's a funny message to preach, if you are indeed preaching. I may be. So be Top Cat. I don't even know what that means. Good, good. That'll help me stall for time. I can get out of here. That's what I'm looking to do. I'm going to bail as soon as we get. I'm worried that you've called your friends ahead and that they're going to meet us or something. I need to probably get the heck out of here. Because maybe I've overstayed my welcome. I pushed this, haven't I? Oh, my goodness. Your patience. It's beautiful. You have more than you think, I think. Oh, your wisdom. Oh, you have more than you know. You really do. It's other people throwing you off your game. God bless them. God bless them. That's just the way it works. We all get dealt a different hand, don't we? And I just have all the cards that have the printing on them. It says, here's how you can order more cards and everything. I didn't even get the jokers. I just got the ads. Oh, and I get the blank one. That's fun. I like the blank anything in games. I like the blank domino. I like the blank Scrabble piece because you can make anything you want out of it. And I like to use my imagination. I like to, some say, oh, you're abusing your imagination. How so? I go, well, you need to let it rest. Because sometimes you put it away wet and cold. I know, I probably overuse it, my imagination. Because sometimes the solutions from my imagination, they work so well. Ah, yes, but they don't work in reality, and that's where we are right now. I know I keep forgetting where I am. I'm glad that you are there to remind me, friends. Say, Hardy, come on, wake up, you're in reality. Dang it, I was having such a beautiful dream. But some of our dreams we can bring to life. And mainly the realistic ones is what I'm thinking. Not the ones where you're, oh, my head's the size of a watermelon. No, that one's not going to happen. But some of the other ones, if they involve peace or getting along or something like that, I think those we can make come true. What am I listening to? You're listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WFMU Mount Hope, WFMU.org, and 91.9. in blessed Rockland County. And this is Hardy White coming to you saying, friend, I don't say the word friend ironically. I say the word friend with hope. And maybe you and I may not believe the same thing. Maybe we may be very different. But friend is somewhere we're headed together, I know. It's the only possible solution. Failure is not an option. But friendship is a possibility. I'll see you again next week. I was standing at the crossroads.
friend. Well, you know your friend. Have a friend. Well, and you know your friend. Gonna tell that friend. Don't be too long. For all of your friends. Said all your neighborhood. Say, take a chill. Said, you know what Jesus. We'll see later on. Said, you know what Jesus. Said, he won't tell.
Ourselves for that time. Seek God with all your heart. We must be filled with God's spirit and not our secondary and thirdary concerns, as Reverend Holliday say. In the New Jerusalem, there will be no sin. That's what I'm looking forward to, people. I tell you something good about the New Jerusalem. We're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. I just want to make it in. I just want to be in the number. A new heaven and a new earth. Will you be ready? I just want to ask the question. Will you be ready?